blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, the Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi samaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity. And the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning?
So this is pretty much the constant topic. I'm pretty sure every group when you guys weren't here was all about recording.
Oh, okay. Glad you can get filled in here.
Yeah. So continuing on that theme, I recorded on Friday morning. I noticed that I woke up and, just going around and realizing, oh, this familiar slide is happening. And so it occurred to me to turn on the recording, which it often does. I mean, to turn on, like, to start recording.
The familiar slide is just some process you're accustomed to.
And actually, what was a little bit more clear about it that morning was this has the potential to capture the whole day.
Oh, so there's a lot of motivation to reach for that recording.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's probably a thing that I'm not supposed to see. Mm-hmm. It's because it's not dramatic. It's not, sort of a full sudden takeover.
Yeah, that wouldn't work anymore.
No, exactly. It's got to be way more just...
She's getting sleepy.
So it was amazing because it occurred to me, so much has happened this fall on all kinds of levels, it feels like. And it occurred to me, and shocking that it hasn't before, but to say to someone, it occurred to me that I haven't invited anyone to talk about like one thing in particular that's been really hard this fall.
You mean outside or inside?
Inside.
Okay.
Yeah, it had to say to the person who's been struggling with a particular thing, tell me about that.
Yeah, it is funny when things like that don't occur to us.
Yeah, it was really, and it's not like I felt like I've not been working with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been working with it in all kinds of ways, and probably a lot that's been helpful, but actually there has been sort of a sense of, there's something holding this in place, but really not knowing what that was.
Mm-hmm.
And even just looking at that, just saying, oh my gosh, into the recorder, it hasn't occurred to me that's so interesting to do this.
That changes everything right there.
It changes everything, and immediately, I mean, I'm just talking to the recorder like this, it's Friday morning, and immediately there's emotion there.
Mm.
Out of nowhere.
Mm.
Just completely out of whole cloth.
Mm.
And so I said, so do you want to look at it? And it was like, yes and no.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was really, really kind of extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And so went on to record, and it was really amazing. I think I just listened to that recording
just over and over.
Over and over. And it was so funny because as I started and I realized what it was going to be, I thought, gosh, recording this, I mean, this is just going to be a lot of pauses with, you know, so a lot of emotion. And it was just, it's an extraordinary recording. Mm-hmm. It really, really is. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. There's this one part where it's like people talk about, but there are these two clear people in this conversation with the same voice. Because someone's, you know, upset and saying the stuff, and then right there, someone says, tell me more about the Hana.
The two people are the mentor and the other person?
Yeah, essentially, you know, however you want to talk about that. But it's so, I listen back to the recording, and it's not even like, okay, now take a deep breath so that I can say, now tell me more about that. It really is just like this person who's saying all this stuff, and then this person who goes, oh, tell me more about the Hana. Mm-hmm.
Two completely different people. Which is the way it's been all along, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You've been aware that that's what's been going on. You've been really working with that. And then you found a more direct way to really have both of those, you know, the compassionate being and the person who needed the compassionate being have a forum for it to be able to communicate.
Yeah. And there was, it felt like so much of the emotion was the relief of acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not like I would have said someone that there was a, you know, this isn't okay, that this is going on. It wasn't anything that gross. It was just a not seeing, I don't know, just not turning directly towards it.
Does it feel like one of those where it's kind of like it wasn't time yet?
Yeah.
Kind of thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just suddenly, I mean, you've been working with it, mm-hmm. and, you know, I mean, my experience with that, usually it's, you know, to some degree real, mm-hmm. you know, there's all that stuff going on, and then we get more and more distance, and then mm-hmm. just suddenly there's that, the insights there for, I mean, really step out of it.
Yeah.
And the insights there for how you can, really, how you can really make a difference here.
You know what I saw is the irony of it is really step out of it and really step into it mm-hmm. simultaneously.
That's the two people.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of like the dance that happens. It's like, yeah, it's hard, but you know, it's okay. It's okay. Okay, this is okay. And then with that, do you want to tell me about it? It's like, oh, thank God. You know, thank God, like, we can, because actually there was, as the recording goes on, it's a really fun recording. It's got, like, funny things in it, and, it, you know, all this kind of playful, and just, like, at one point, they're talking. It's so funny to talk about it, by the way. They're talking.
Later. It's funny because they're both they.
I know, exactly.
I like that. Yeah. And neither one of them is you. Even the mentor.
I know. It's mm-hmm. amazing, isn't it? But so they're talking along and get to something that's, well, how, you know, we can have it. And Jen and I would say, it's like, yeah, that sounds good, but no more decisions to be perfect. I hate those. They never work and they just make me feel bad. You know, and there's just this light moment of like, oh yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. That's not too bad anymore. That great. Stinks.
I'm curious, do you feel like the exercise of the recording kind of what I'm hearing you say is you were able to just kind of let all of that be out there.
Yeah.
Does it, and I'm, it just to me, maybe it's the recording that gives kind of like a forum for just like all that emotion to be there, for the mentor to be there with it, mm-hmm. and for you to be in that other place where it's almost like, sounds like both those things are kind of happening independently. Mm-hmm. They're just being what they are and doing what they do, mm-hmm. and you're just kind of watching it all happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say that when you were saying it earlier, you know, does it feel like it wasn't time yet? I think one of the things that's so helpful is that within this sort of come on, I'm like, gosh, what's holding this in place? It doesn't feel like I've been going to a place of, I mean, there certainly have been times of that, but sort of just going, well, the if there's a nut to crack, it will crack when it's going to crack.
When it's time. Mm-hmm.
And not really, so not adding the extra layer of, okay, now what am I going to do about mm-hmm. that? Mm-hmm. But just sort of going, boy, I'm doing everything I can see to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something else to do, at some point it will occur to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, and it doesn't sound like in what you actually did, you did anything. Really.
Not at all.
There's just like a space there. And you were just, you basically said yes to this insight mm-hmm. that occurred to you. And then this mm-hmm. thing happened that was really, sounds like fun and really helpful and kind of beautiful too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And it's amazing when I listen to it, you know, there's all kinds of you know, beautiful relationships with it, like stuff like, oh, you know, I can just see how hard that is for her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just kind of a, you know, like I'd be listening to someone I love, just, oh, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. That's so, such a bummer. And not at all like a, okay, well, now here's what we can do. Mm-hmm. But just a, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, a real compassionate place, it sounds like.
Because you can hear in it, you know, at least for me, there's that place of, like, say, talking to a sister or something where it's, you know, there's sort of that level of like, oh, this, I hate this, I want this to go away, and then it sort of drops into the what's really going on place. And it feels like, to me, everyone drops into this place of, oh, that's, there's nothing to change here, it's just really painful, and I'm sorry, and that's okay. You know, it drops out of the, like, what are we going to do about this?
Yeah, that's really where the work is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. No, or, well, that's not the right way to say it, but really, where the possibility is for her is, because I'm projecting, that's if you're doing anything, that's kind of what you're doing, is saying no to the karma of becoming someone to do something around it.
Exactly.
And just providing that compassionate space, really, for it to take care of itself.
Yeah, exactly. And then the amazing thing is that it just feels like it builds on itself. So then this morning I woke up, you know, great, you know, nice morning, and I saw this other little thing, completely different sort of a thing come in, picked up the recording, just started recording about that, and then, and always, eventually, I mean, my recordings are sometimes quite long, you know, because I'm just going around and we're just talking it out, and just get to these really fabulous places, and it doesn't even matter what the place is, but it just, the point of it is like, well, how great is that? That's becoming the habit. Mm-hmm. That I see this tiny little thing, and then we go straight at it.
Immediately to a tool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's an element of that too, it sounds like. Somebody said yesterday, at the workshop that Sherry did, it doesn't even really matter what's being said.
Right.
It's just that we're talking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And actually on today's recording, got into this place of like, it was like, oh, thank you so much, you know, sort of down to the mentor and the mentor going, no, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. Kind of this, yeah.
Yeah, that's really, it's neat. Yeah. Yeah. One other really thing that I enjoyed about what you said, you were talking about the slide at the beginning, and I just have this hunch that, like, I don't know if you ever had this experience, but, you know, insight's about to happen, but you're not aware of it yet. But it's like it's lining up. It's almost like conditioning's kind of aware of it. It's like, uh-oh, here it comes. Let's try to take her out right before.
Yeah.
It's just easy to project that conditioning's reacting to this possibility that's just about to happen.
Yeah, that's good. And boy, it's going to be in big trouble if that we get so attuned to the slide that we then turn to the tool, and the tool uncovers whatever the insight was.
Really big trouble. Thank you. Melinda?
I just realized we need to invest in recording companies, in tape recording companies. Because I think this is going to
be big.
Put therapists out of business.
Yeah, we can make money while we're doing this at the same time.
Absolutely. And I've had a number of experiences that are what I project Jenda's talking about. And it's just, and what I was just putting it together with was when I used to do therapy in an office and would be in some kind of great turmoil about something and walk into the office and it would be gone. Mm. And I would work with the client and then I'd walk out of the office and pick it up again. Yeah. And that, I had that same experience of just being in complete emotional breakdown and saying it into the recorder. And then I was doing two chairs, and I moved into the mentor's spot, and all of that emotion was gone. Mm-hmm. And there was still a little bit of a sound of stopped up nose and, you know, things like that. But and there was somebody who could say, I hear how painful this is for you, and the one who'd been emotional hadn't really gotten it, that it was painful. Mm-hmm. So saying things that hadn't been... That we're seeing something new for the person in the other chair.
Mm-hmm. Boy, you know, somebody who wasn't familiar with what we do, this is just total wacky.
Yeah,
but it's so interesting, and that's very much my experience too. That, like Jen was saying, they're two really different people.
Yeah.
And then there's that third place, which, you know, we might talk about as willingness or awareness or something. That's the container that's happening in. Mm-hmm. So you're there doing the two-chair exercise, and you've turned the recorder on.
Yes.
And so there's this, a whole other level of sort of creating this possibility.
Yeah, and it feels also like we're really being offered a chance to see in a huge new way how the mind works. Mm-hmm. Because things are happening for everybody in doing this recording process that we are all surprised by. Mm-hmm. But clearly it's a universal ability mm-hmm. to turn to someone internally who offers wisdom that never occurred to the person turning to that mm-hmm. being.
Yeah. You know what I love about it? It's so what the Buddha taught.
Yeah.
I think. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. You know, that's what we are. And we're confused, you know, like that yeah. wisdom and that awareness and the compassion. And we're just confused that we're something other than that. And then we go through a process where we realize that. And then we can, and the suffering that we thought that we were ends as we discover who we actually are.
Yeah, and that ability to turn to it, I think that the brilliance of this, of introducing this technique, of you know, dreaming it up and introducing it mm-hmm. and pushing it in the mm-hmm. way Sherry is pushing it, you know, those people had to have their recorder or they couldn't get in the room yesterday. And then they were all walking around outdoors.
That was fun.
Yeah,
that's
cool. Should have been taking a picture. But it just really is so exciting because it does feel as though it's a huge transformative tool for people even who are not doing practice, mm-hmm. but for people who are stuck and want to find a way out.
If you could just put words to what do you feel like it does, how would you describe that?
Well, what I saw yesterday was that it gives me access to places in myself. Well, what just went through is that I've always looked outside for, mm-hmm. to a therapist, for instance, mm-hmm. To a guide, which is not to say not looking to the guide for that, but you turn it on and you have the possibility of both becoming and seeing that which has the wisdom, that which is the authentic self.
Mm-hmm. And to really get it, that's inside here.
It has to be. It's all in my voice.
It's all happening right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And that we don't have to go outside to find it.
Exactly.
We do need guidance, like you pointed that out earlier. It's
yeah.
not that it's not an either or, but what we truly need, it really is inside. And like you said, it seems to be a universal human ability to turn to that and find it.
Yeah, and all of the religions talk about the still small voice within, but this is the first time there's been and this is how to get there, to hear it.
Mm-hmm. In a real practical way.
In a practical, completely effective way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do anything but talk in the recorder and then listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just think it's extraordinary.
Thank you. Alex.
I love this too. I think it's a tangible form of self-facilitation, like you know, where we sit, we could do the two chair, but the ability to listen again, because I think it's the same. It has the same power as listening to a guidance appointment after it's gone on. So there's a person there talking about what it is that's gone, or several people talking about their experience or what's going on, and then there's wisdom coming around that to reflect that or to say something about it. And oftentimes there's no integration of it, or I don't know how to put it, but it's like somehow it's there. That's why I think we record them, is because I may not necessarily be there hearing mm-hmm. what's being said.
You're involved in it when you're doing it.
I'm involved in it. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes it can even seem like it can be very real as mm-hmm. it's going on, but to have that arm's length away from it, where I can actually hear both aspects going on, or like I said, there could be lots of people over here, you know, the receiving of the guidance, and there's the wisdom that's talking, either reflecting or mm-hmm. offering.
I want to catch, in case there's anybody listening to this recording who's not familiar with the two-chair exercise, mm-hmm. just to mention that it's something we've been messing with for a long time. You actually set up two chairs, and you're somebody who needs to talk about something. Talk about that, and then you get up and then go sit in the other chair, and you offer guidance or reflective listening or something, and you get back up and go back to the other side. What you're saying is this is kind of the next level of how to do that, it's a self-facilitation technique, at least potentially.
Yeah, and I think that's where the power in it is, that it's coming from the same, well, it seems like the same source, because it's the same voice talking, but that it has a new level of thrusting it out, so that whoever is listening can actually get a clear picture about what's actually happening. Like, I've shared that I start to see patterns, where when I end up talking about the same thing frequently, and hearing the single focused, wisdom that comes in about, that's such and such, or is able to talk to me in a way that I've always wanted to be talked to. And it's so beautiful too, because like even in the workshop yesterday, where there was someone who was asking a question to resolve a problem, the question was turned back on to the person who had the question. So, well, how would you, I say I have this problem, what would you say to me to do? Mm-hmm. And of course there was an answer, and which is what you're pointing at too, with this is what the Buddha taught, that we have inside of us everything we need to end our own suffering.
Yeah, we're just confused that we don't.
We're confused that, that the something that is somewhere out there, and I think that us being able to listen to that over and over again is just proving to ourselves that truth.
Yeah, that feels like one of the elements that the recording adds, that the two chair exercise in itself really doesn't have, because you have the experience if you're not recording it, but if you're recording it, then you have the experience, but then you get to hear it over and over and over again, and it takes a lot of repetitions, and to really get something.
Yeah, to get something. Yeah.
And because every time, my experience of it is, I listen to it, and there's an insight that, oh, I see what's going on. I see how this isn't real and what's happening here. And then the next time through, I have exactly the same insight. Oh, I see what's going on.
yeah.
After a while, it kind of sinks in.
It does. I this one favorite part that. Where I start talking about something and I realize that I didn't actually get it. I didn't get that there was it was almost like the first time I heard it, I thought that the comment was coming from one place, and then I kept hearing it and I was like, wait a minute, this is actually pointing at something completely different, and it's really helpful what it's pointing at.
Something you missed while...
Something I missed.
While it was actually going on.
Interesting. Yeah, very. I so appreciate the fact that they just keep repeating, and it's... I think that's what... I love that Sherry gave me guidance to never get rid of any of them. If there's a voice that comes in and says, I'm over that part just brings up difficult stuff, I get it.
Time to listen to it again.
Yeah, that there's something in there that that is very, very, very valuable to me. And just one other thing is that I had this one experience. Was walking up a path, and I was talking in the place of just picking up the recorder and having difficulty being in a difficult place with something. And for whatever reason, I stopped it, and then I listened to it. And I had the insight to stop it as I was listening to it and reflective listen the person having the difficulty.
Oh, that's groovy.
I don't know, maybe it'll be a two recorder thing. offering the guidance. And there's another one that's someone who's on the other chair. So what I hear you saying is
they could just do it on their own.
Just a little set them up over there, a little pocket. That's interesting.
That's good. Brian.
I think for me, what the recorder really underscores is how good conditioning is at convincing me not to listen to what I'm saying. And so listening back to the recorder going, oh wow, that is really wise and insightful. How did I not know that I said that?
How did I miss my own intelligence and wisdom?
And it reminds me actually of a very long time ago seeing Sherry at a workshop. And there was a guy who came in who had a problem, a big problem. And she just asked him what the problem was, and then he described it and described exactly what he needed to do about it and what the solution was, and just every stage of this not being a problem.
Uh-huh.
And would not believe that he had access to that.
Right. Even though he had just done it.
Yeah, even though he had just done it. So it was really funny because Sherry just kind of said, okay, well, here's what's going to happen. Tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up and know the answer to this problem.
Hmm.
And so the next day he came in and was just super excited. Right? He's like, oh, it worked. It really happened. I know the answer to this problem. And said the exact same thing he said the day before.
Everybody in the audience is saying, this is not rocket science.
Yeah. Well, but everybody in the audience the first time could hear what he couldn't.
Right.
Because our conditioning isn't to ignore his wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Just our own.
Which is useful if you think about it, because then if everybody else sounds really wise and we never say anything that's worth anything, then kind of the logical thing is to look outside for the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's what we're trained to do all the time, isn't it? Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that would sort of describe why it's important for conditioning for it to be set up that way.
Mm-hmm. And so with the recording, you know, it's just this big mirror,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the wisdom's coming through constantly. And if I'm recording constantly, then when I listen back, I can't help but notice that somebody who sounds very much like me is actually pretty wise.
Uh-huh. And has exactly what he needs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good, thank you. Nikki.
One of the things that seems so to me in the recording is that it's like it gives us a way to just simply issue an invitation to that wisdom that's all around.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have, before we even did the recording, I used to have the experience of doing it in writing where I would just go, I need some help here, and would just turn to this sort of vague sense of something out there and start.
It would show up in your
hand. It would just show up, and I could write pages, you know, and go, whoa, I didn't know that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It's kind of like channeling.
It is. It felt very much like that. It's just like, I don't know where this is coming from, but, you know, and it's, and the recorder seems to be the same thing, and it seems to me like that all that is just right there. I mean, like, we just swim in the sea of it, and all we need to do is just be open enough to say, come on in,
mm-hmm.
But we have to be open enough to say that. Mm-hmm. We have to know that it's possible to issue the invitation, and we have to be disidentified and willing enough to issue the invitation.
Yeah, it's almost like there has to be a kind of a format or a mm-hmm. platform or something for it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what we practice meditation for, is to create a space for that insight to be here. Yeah. It seems like the recording adds just a little help,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. you know, so it's a just push the button,
yeah.
and then that opens the channel,
mm-hmm.
and then here it comes onto the recording.
Yeah, I really like it. And another fun thing that I've been having fun with lately is that in the book, you know, What You Practice Is What You Have, there are these 30 little exercises for things that you can put on your recorder, and I've been doing one a day during this month of the extra email class, and the last 2 days were about clothing. And it was about, you know, notice when you get dressed in the morning and who gets dressed and what are the sensations. Mm-hmm. And then it suggests then try dressing differently. I was doing that the other day and I realized I couldn't because all my clothes are the same. You know, that I could put on different versions of what I wear. But they didn't look any different because the person lately that dresses this body and buys the clothes, it's
always the same person.
It's the same person.
We need somebody else in
that's
there.
That's right. And I thought, you know, that's not true. I do have other people who like to wear the things, but obviously they haven't been shopping for years. It was just very funny. And then the next days it was to look at what other people wear, or maybe it was the other way around. No, I think the
outside
next days
people.
Was to look at mm-hmm. what other people wear and how you know, what kind of judgments are you projecting on them. And so we were in a little event last night, so I was doing that while I was there. And, you know, going, oh, God, I would never look like that. And I realized, yes, I would, but I wouldn't, you know, someone would.
Uh-huh.
But I just wouldn't really allow myself to do it.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You know?
I sense a whole world of possibility. We won't recognize you next time we see you.
I know. And then another one where I went, oh, that looks nice, but I would never wear anything like that. And I thought, someone would wear
someone
something
wants
like
to.
That.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just so mm-hmm. funny.
Well, and that's a good one because it really, it could break down the me.
It does, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really like what I came to when what I was putting on my recorder is that, you know, the me that is me has been become very narrowly defined. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. the Mickey that has been allowed to show up lately mm-hmm. is pretty a pretty narrow slice of who she really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we see you wearing pink cowboy boots next time,
we'll
know what's happening. Penny.
Actually, it just reminds me of when I was singing with the Gold Rush Chorus and had to put on false eyelashes.
I mean,
that was so much fun. Boy, I discovered a whole different person in there. One of the things that I've been finding with the recorder, the way it feels to me is that the recorder and the mentor create a space. And, you know, when we're talking about internal and external, to me, it's there's a couple ways of looking at it. And one is that what the recorder does, in a way, is keep things from being so internal. You know, and that's what I mean by the space, that it's like, without recording it and hearing it, I can just get caught up in sort of the immediacy of what conditioning is telling me.
Yeah.
What's
similar to people who talk about reflective listening, the power of that, because
yep.
it's the same kind of thing. We're saying stuff to ourselves all the time, but don't ever really hear it.
Yep.
But just to say it out and hear it back, suddenly we get a look at it that's really difficult when it's just so internal, like you're saying.
Yeah. So it externalizes in the sense that writing externalizes. You know, we're talking about getting it at arm's length
mm-hmm.
and getting it at recorder length and getting it out there. For me, opens up a whole new space. And it also feels like that the wisdom feels internal, and yet it also feels like it's universal.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's not that it's in me; it's that I am in it.
Yeah, it really points to the illusion of a separate self, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because to say that it's internal, you know, it's me, and yet it's universal at the same time. Says that all this stuff that I believe in as me is not me. It's just something else. You know, that's what I really am.
Yeah, and it's like that feels like the space too. It's like it allows me to enter into something that is so much larger that is not me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where conditioning would take it's all in me is it's all in me. You know, and what my experience of the recorder and the mentor is that it's that I am not it. It is all of me. Mm-hmm. That's really mm-hmm. the experience I have.
So when you said, you know, conditioning, I think quite follow you. Conditioning would say that it's all me.
Yeah,
I did that.
Or? Conditioning would use the idea of something being it's all in me, as the small me. I mean, that,
I see.
And my experience and experientially, what I find is it's like walking into that field that Rumi talks about. You know, it's like mm-hmm. all of a sudden. I am not in me. Mm-hmm. I am. Yeah, I guess that's the. I guess it's not that I discover this in me. It's that I discover myself in it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what people talk about is waking up, mm-hmm. right? You know, we think we're awake because we're walking around and we're doing stuff, but we're asleep because we don't have any access to who we really are.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're talking about. Is kind of setting aside the illusion of a separate self and just stepping into this larger place that we, like people have been saying, that we all share.
Yeah, that we all share,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Where we really all are there. We're all right. the same thing there.
Right,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Almost like we're the same person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a person, but it's like mm-hmm. we're the same entity.
Right, yeah. And one of the fun things I find about the recorder, too, is as people have been saying, the ability to go back to it. And hear it again, and then so often I'll go back and I'll listen to sort of the insights that come in, and then I'll say, oh, and what that leads me to is, and then that goes on my recorder,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the kind of thing that the recorder extends the possibility
mm-hmm.
of staying with that and seeing that in a way that the ephemeralness of just in, you know, like a reflective listening or something
mm-hmm.
without the recorder doesn't allow for.
Yeah, it captures it.
Kind of.
Yeah, I find that to be one of the most powerful things is, so I realize something, put on the tape, and then I just hear it over and over again, because without that, it would go away pretty quickly. And then somewhere down the road, I'd remember again and have the same insight. But here, it's like it keeps it alive because I keep hearing it over and over again.
And then hearing it over and over again, it usually leads me to another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of unfolds in a really fun way.
That's neat. Michael.
I've been using the recording a lot too, and one of the things that has been really neat about it is how it works to bring me out of something that I'm getting bogged down in, which is kind of like it's been with this person, there's kind of been the bog.
The bog.
One continuous bog. and with no hope for getting out of the bog. And So in this trip that I just went on, I would get into a bog, and I made a recording for the trip. I made one or two, actually, for the trip.
That's neat.
And things that I was seeing about, potentially this could happen, or here's kind of what you're seeing about this trip, what I was seeing about the trip at the time I made the recordings.
And here's what you need to support yourself through this. You can see more different circumstance now. Here's what I really need to remember.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, not actually knowing what would happen. Mm-hmm. So it occurred to me at some point, kind of in the middle, oh yeah, I made that recording. Because I've been doing recordings almost every day and just kind of listening as I do it. And I remembered, oh yeah, I made that one or those couple. And I listened to it and it was really, really helpful. and it was just like, oh, okay. That's right. There is this, I can do this, you know, and it was like I had, in picking it up, I had planted something for myself in the future. In a movie, like the explorer is Indiana Jones, you know, like thousands of years ago, they planted this thing that they knew this guy would find.
Right. Uh-huh.
So that's what happened. And
It's the opposite of the landmines that can get them.
Yeah, and what I just saw as I started talking was it's not one bog. Conditioning has to continuously be planting a new thing.
Uh-huh.
And so it's not like I have to deal with 20 years of stuff, whatever. I just have to deal with what conditioning has just planted, just that moment. Mm-hmm. And conditioning has to keep working constantly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so here I am, and so if I defeat one, I see, oh, I only have to defeat one.
Mm-hmm.
Each
moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the case. Every moment is an opportunity to.
Yeah, and I think that's a good word, I think, opportunity, because it really is. It's a good thing. Because it's working all the time to create the bog, and so we have to work all the time to remain present and continually putting those supports in front of us.
I want to reveal a process that Jenny gets bogged down in, speaking of bogs. this has gone on for a long time. I just saw it about 5 minutes ago. And it's kind of big. And part of me is kind of superstitious about talking about it, so by God, we're talking about it. it basically has to do with not talking about it. I've been having, starting this recording practice, has just really pushed conditioning buttons. It's been working overtime. There's been a lot of identification, deeper than I have felt in a long time. Mm. Some really rough spots, and I pop in and out of it. And I've been out of it for a few days now. Mm. It's really nice.
Mm, makes sense.
And I attribute the recording and just practicing, I attribute the December 7th email about just do it. Doesn't matter whether you want to.
Just do it.
Mm-hmm. As things have really helped. And so what I just saw is one of the main, actually the most immediate content in my life right now. I'm being told constantly to keep it secret. And it's extremely mundane, and I'm going to tell you what it is. As I've gotten older, I've gained weight. And it's uncomfortable. And I haven't, and let's see, I've done the very typical, apparently, thing of making the commitment to do it differently, to eat differently, whatever, lose a little weight, feel better,
mm-hmm.
and never succeed,
mm-hmm.
completely fail,
mm-hmm.
and haven't been able to put two and two together as to why.
What's going on there?
Mm-hmm. Well, two and two are finally making four, and in this moment, the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire.
And it feels different than the kind of decision to be perfect thing that moment goes on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It feels, the crux of it is, and I said this in here the other day, do not believe the voice that says, I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's what I really want to reveal is that I'm being, up until about 90 seconds ago, I was being talked into doing the whole thing completely alone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. There's something shameful about it. Just don't talk about it.
Right. Yeah. What's the purpose of that?
So that if I fail, I'm the only one who'll know.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that that's kind of a guarantee of failure? Not talking about it?
That's what I'm talking about.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Yeah. You're reaching for support.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For Sangha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the one who wants to keep it a secret and the one who is superstitious about saying things out loud, team up to keep me.
Yeah. Well, that's, don't you think that's kind of pure egocentric karmic conditioning,
yes.
right there?
Yes.
That's just something that is not interested in you having what you want for yourself in your life.
Yeah.
Keep you boxed in with it.
Yeah.
Where it can continue to control you and manipulate you and have you going around and around that self-hating cycle and just have that be your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other one is something like somebody who thinks she's autonomous, who doesn't need,
mm-hmm.
who can do it on her own, mm-hmm. don't bother me, I can do this myself,
right.
that kind of thing. Yeah. Other people just interfere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and it seems really real when we're identified in a place yeah. like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Outside of it, we can say, what she, if it is even a she, or it's more than it, sounds
yeah.
like, but
yeah.
she's... What she's interested in is nobody interfering with her ability to call the shots.
Yes.
And make sure everything goes the way it's supposed to go, yeah, for you to suffer the way you're supposed to suffer.
Yeah. And lately, there has been a lot of interference with her ability to call the shots, blessedly. And I don't know where I was going with that. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's why this is coming out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Because there's been the ability to make a different choice and to really interfere with that self-sabotaging program.
Yes.
And what do you attribute that to? That, I don't know if you call it willingness or...
Well, I got sick a few days ago. Kind of felt like sort of a mild food poisoning or something like that. And for whatever reason, it just really triggered the unwillingness to feel ashamed and like a failure and feeling trapped in this cycle of daily cycle of failure, waking up every single morning in failure and defeat and shame.
Wow.
Every morning in my life. And you think that might do it, but there was just something about it in and of itself, but there was just something about feeling so yucky that I, before I got out of bed, I grabbed that recorder and I have made a series of recordings reminding myself that I don't want to do that anymore. I am way, way sick of that. And the other morning, after I started feeling better, I didn't have an appetite for the first couple of days, so it was kind of easy not to fall into some old eating patterns. Then I felt better, appetite came back, and I started feeling that slide that I think was talked about earlier, that hard, kind of addictive pull back to some old behavior, some old default settings that ostensibly make me feel better.
But actually cause you to suffer, ultimately?
Yes, yeah. It's classic addiction. And grab that recorder, listen, just do anything different, And you know, the interesting part, the thing that makes that works best is drinking water.
Kind of fills the tummy up a little bit?
I guess so.
Interesting.
And it's something that simple.
Well, the whole thing is simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's incredibly profound, but it's really, really simple. You know, as you've been talking, what keeps coming for me is, you know, that's why they call this the path of heroes. Because it's not shameful. It's universal. You know, what you're talking about is what we're all struggling with. And, you know, self-hate is so vicious and so powerful, I think, for most of us, and has such an incredible ability to destroy our lives if we'll let it. And just that, just the immense willingness that's required to step out of that. And then when we do, it's just utterly simple. Like you're saying, you just got it. It sounds like you got to a place where you'd suffered enough, basically.
Yes.
And you just said, no, I'm not willing to do this anymore. And then the way out is utterly simple. Just, you know, reach for that recording and listen to it. And then basically guide yourself to another place. And you're doing that again this morning, I think, and sharing about it.
Yes.
No, I don't want that anymore. I want some, there's this other thing that I want, and I'm at a place where I'm really willing for that now.
There.
Thanks, Jamie. See you.
Is it time?
Yep.
How much?
10 minutes.
I'm not going to talk a lot. as I was thinking of, I like the thing about I'm not going to believe I don't want to anymore. That was really helpful to me because, so I have this thing that goes on about the recording. So on the one hand, I really like it and it's practical for me, you know, because if I'm doing the dishes and I can't hear people screaming at me across the house.
Yeah, that's a side myth. You don't have to talk to anybody.
Right, don't talk to anybody. And if they want me, they actually have to come in. You know, Andrew hates because they'll scream, go get her and talk, you know. Then why do you go all the way
down? Yeah, don't forget where you're going. Here's a little tip I learned in my little trip that there's these, you know, noise-canceling headphones.
No.
I don't know what they are exactly, but apparently they're earbud type.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how it works, but apparently if you have something coming through the wire, some kind of sound, it basically eliminates everything else. You can't hear what's going on.
Wouldn't that be helpful?
Yeah, Radio Shack.
You know, it was helpful for me at the monastery to wear earplugs.
Yeah.
It keeps conditioning out or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, the wasps weren't as scary. Mm-hmm. And the
and this is the next step up.
This is the next.
It shuts out the things that are distracting, and there's information coming in. That's what we really need.
So it's helpful in that time. The other thing I saw about it, have been looking at, is that to simultaneously do chores, or like I had them on at work, you know, and somebody came in, and normally my boss, the doctor, he's like, oh you know. let me tell you about this email class. But anyway, but it's interesting to watch myself in my body doing chores that normally I'd just be like, you know, I can listen to the conditioning.
You can listen to the other recording.
Exactly. And the response. So I'm having this whole good experience with it. And I have this thing that happens. That's so embarrassing to say. And it's the same process that I talked about last week, but you weren't here, when we used the microphone. So I have this part of me.
I bet that was a process.
So this is not going to be unfamiliar to you guys, to anybody who's known me throughout the years at the monastery. But anytime something new comes up, I have this whole thing that goes on around it. This whole life.
That's the only thing that's not new.
Exactly. It's the only thing that's not new. Is that process that comes up.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to, it was very helpful to say it out loud about last week, because what was helpful was I feel very ashamed of feeling the way I feel. So I don't say anything. So I have this feeling, and then I feel ashamed and embarrassed about it, and this whole story that goes on. And, you know, then I'm separate because I think I'm different. Mm-hmm.
Just classic conditioning, isn't it?
It's
one of its basic strategies.
Yeah, I can really relate. My content is different than what was just talked about, but the process is the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at some point, I'm not going to believe. I just found it so helpful. I'm going to record this when I get home. I'm not going to believe I don't want to do it. Because I believe it. I believe I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I don't want to do it. But that's what somebody tells me. You don't really want to do it.
It's not that you don't want to do it.
It's not that I don't want to do it.
The conditioning is resisting it.
It's classic resistance. It feels the same as all resistance in my body. So I just want to say that out loud. I have it going about the recording. I don't have it going about the recording itself, because I am doing recordings. But I have it going about always group talking about the recordings. I'm like, oh my God, let's just talk about something else for a change. Not how healthy we're getting. And I know that it's because I felt it this morning at church as well. Like, it was a great homily. This guy never gives a good homily. No offense. But it was a great homily. And then, the content is that Andrew thanked him. And I'm just like, who is this? You know, that's exactly what she does. She, like, rolls her eyes. And, you know,
someone you don't want in charge of your life.
I don't want her in charge of my life. And she gets in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just that she's funny and goes, you know, she really goes.
Yeah. So what you're practicing instead is just doing doing the practice.
Just
doing
showing
what you know
up
you need
anyway.
To. Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, I've got my schedule. 2 meditations and recordings and go to the monastery this day.
It's so much easier. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about it. it's going to take that at some point anyway.
Right.
So you could either just do it now, or you could suffer and suffer and suffer and suffer for days, weeks, months, or years, and then do it. So might as well do it right now.
It was quicker this time, I have to say. Mm-hmm. I have to say it was quicker. And it didn't get me as quickly, you know. I mean, just the whole process around the recording, I responded quicker to saying yes to it than normal, to something new. Mm-hmm. And there was that sense that was described a minute ago of, I don't care. I want what they have. Mm-hmm. It may seem hokey. Mm-hmm. I may think it's, you know, crazy. But it's working.
Yeah, who cares what the voice has said?
Who cares? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
you know, something was coming up. We did this workshop yesterday, and it was about the recording. I shared it. And something that's coming up for me over the course of the workshop is that this is just like the reflective listening based practice that we do, you know, the formal practice that we do.
Right.
Where what people will talk about over and over is that there's the reflective listening, and that's really helpful. You know, it's helpful to be able to say and then hear it reflected back and see what's going on with you, kind of like we were saying earlier. And then on the other level, another level is, it's really helpful to have that thing to do so you can see what conditioning is all about, mm-hmm. and see all the resistance that's happening and all the way it tries to come in and sabotage it. And it was occurring to me yesterday that this recording is exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. There's something in it that's really, really helpful just in itself. Mm-hmm. And then extra helpful is it really pushes conditioning's buttons. Mm-hmm. So you get to, as you do it, you get to receive what it is, you know, the words of the mentor and all that, and you also really get to see what it is that normally runs your life.
Yeah, I think the immediacy is really helpful with the recording, mm-hmm. because we're not, like, I might plan to record about something, but really, with this, you're just supposed to, I don't know what you're supposed to do, but pick it up and start talking, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a bunch of who, you know, I can hear it in there. Mm-hmm.
And then move to that other place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. And it's familiar. I have the process around everything new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that would be a good thing to record about.
It'd be good because a lot of times I believe it, not just about stuff here new.
Right.
But, mm-hmm. Well, can you tell me real quick about what, right now I'm pretty identified with, I don't see a response. I don't see how to move to the disidentified. Sometimes I'm talking and it's hard to move to the mentor when I'm doing it. So kind of what Jen was talking about, I have that a couple times, but I'm not as practiced it's like I move to this, I have to look at it a little more.
What would the mentor say about that?
Well, that's the thing I've been looking at. My mentor doesn't talk a lot. It might just say something like, thanks for telling me. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said it.
So what I hear you saying is that's a practice place for you, is exploring that relationship with the mentor.
Yeah, and exploring the verbal part of the mentor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How to access that, how to allow the mentor to speak to you, mm-hmm. how to allow that wisdom to come through in that form that you need.
Yeah, sometimes I think that my words block what the mentor is actually saying. So I might move to that place of, I better say something. Mm-hmm. Missing what, in order to fix it, sort of, mm-hmm. rather than, well, reflecting is helpful, just reflecting mm-hmm. is helpful. It mm-hmm. seems to open the possibility for the mentor. But sometimes lately I think I've jumped in.
Yeah, I bet you everybody could talk about that to some extent, because that's, at least for me, that's a big part of what this is all about, is really learning what the mentor is, mm-hmm. how to access that, how to make that movement. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we don't, without a lot of practice, we don't know how. It's just, you know, that wisdom is just mysterious. It's like, you know, where does that come from? Mm-hmm. But it feels like the recording gives us a way that we can actually, you know, gives us a way to practice that, mm-hmm. and to learn how to be that open channel for that mm-hmm. wisdom and compassion.
Can I say one really quick thing, just because it's fun on the tails of that? That one of the things that I've appreciated so much, I'm also in the camp of, well, it's kicked up everything that could be kicked up to see, and I really right now in this moment, I appreciate that. but one of the things that I love, June referred to that email that Sherry sent of, you know, it doesn't matter if you want to do it, that whole thing. And to me, that goes hand in hand with, we just do it until it does work, in a sense. And one of the things that I actually, on my recording this morning, was kind of talking with the mentor about, the mentor was offering, is that it actually is always working. Truly, on like an actual always working level, because then, you know, this conversation around, but I don't really feel it, but actually it's always working. The only thing that's not working is the conversation laid over about, well, I don't really know, I mean, that's not really, and that as, at least in my experience, as I do it, it truly is practicing doing it, and it's not that it starts working, it's that truth, or I don't know how to say it really, is revealed, and the other thing, the attention is no longer on the what isn't working.
Let me see if I'm with you. So it's working all the time. You know, the transformation is happening, the mentor is connected with a little person, everything. The only thing that is not that is this idea that that's not happening.
Exactly.
So as you're doing as you're practicing being the mentor, it's not actually that you're becoming more the mentor, the mentor is more there. It's just that you're just realizing what's actually going on all the time.
It's just getting revealed. That's so exactly it. But more and more and more, it's coming into really, you know, if I could say, that's who I am and who I'm not. Kind of.
Yeah, it goes back to an earlier point in the conversation, you know, that that's who we are, is that unconditional love and acceptance.
Exactly.
So how could anything other than that be going on all the time?
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of just recognizing.
Yeah.
And then, we can just relax.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it'll just do it itself.
Exactly. I mean, in some of my hardest moments, you know, I've had the old, I must not be the exception.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, there has to be something else here.
Mm-hmm.
And just that patience of like, I know that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's true. And I'll just...
Wearing away the illusion.
Yeah, wearing away the illusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.